Well, hello everyone, it's me, Ethan Uslan, and you are listening to the Carolina Shout podcast. That, of course, was Chopin's famous Nocturne in E-flat, but I made a few changes from the original. That's how we do things on the Carolina Shout, in case you're new around here. If something's not jazzy or ragtimey, we make it jazzy or ragtimey. You know those people who put hot sauce on everything? Well, we put syncopation sauce on everything. We just slather it on. By the gallon. No moderation. All right, let me tell you what I have in store for today. I thought it would be fun to have a featured ragtime composer for this episode, like a composer of the month kind of thing. And for the month of May, I have chosen May Ofterhide. So I'm going to play some May in May, if I may. I learned two May Ofterhide rags, and I did a little bit of research about her life and times, so I thought it would be fun to play her music and share with you what I learned. Let us commence. May Frances Ofterhide was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 1888. She was from a wealthy family. And her father, John Ofterhide, founded the Commonwealth Loan Company. It seemed that May's prowess at the piano began at an early age, and there's this website called Hoosier State Chronicles, and you can search all these old Indiana newspapers. And I searched May Ofterhide, and there are mentions of her all over the place, things like the Sydenham Society met last Tuesday afternoon, and a dainty luncheon was served, and Miss May Ofterhide entertained with a piano solo. Things like that. And these mentions start appearing around 1894, when May was only 6 years old. So as soon as she was walking and talking, she was getting down to business with that piano. And when she was a teenager, she went to Pelham Manor, New York, to go to finishing school at Mrs. Hazen's School for Girls. Now, I don't know if ragtime was permitted at Mrs. Hazen's School for Girls, but it seems like May was developing her ragtime skills over there. Because as soon as she graduated and moved back to Indiana, she composed her first rag, which was called Dusty. And May Ofterhide, who was just 20, teamed up with a guy named Cecil Duane Crabb, who was a sign painter and amateur ragtime pianist, and they embarked on a low-budget operation to publish her rag and sell it around the Indianapolis area. I'm not sure how successful this venture was, but it was successful in convincing May's father that he should invest in May's ragtime career. John Ofterhide apparently decided that if May was going to get in the ragtime biz, he was going to help her do it right. So he opened up his own publishing company, hired a staff, and published Dusty through the J.H. Ofterhide Publishing Company. And he put in advertisements in newspapers all over the country. Thanks, Dad. And the next thing you know, the J.H. Ofterhide Company was moving product. Dusty was getting around, and you might even say it became a hit, and deservedly so. So let's give it a listen, shall we? The Dusty Rag by May Ofterhide from 1908, which she composed fresh out of finishing school. Thank you. So that was the Dusty Rag. Really a lot of fun. Hard to believe that May Ofterhide knocked that out when she was just 20. And as for the title, Dusty, at first I thought it was a play on words, like a dusty rag. Get it? A dusty rag. But I found an old newspaper article that tells the story behind the title, and it's not about a dusty rag. Let me read this to you. It's from the Richmond Palladium newspaper of Richmond, Indiana, from April 17, 1908, and the article is entitled, Pretty Romance Surrounds the Composition of Dusty. Behind the name of the newest and latest ragtime musical hit lies a pretty little story. Dusty is the name of the piece, and it was composed by May Ofterhide, now known as Mrs. Thomas Kaufman, the young bride whom Thomas Kaufman, a rising young architect of Richmond, recently brought to this city from her home in Indianapolis. Dusty was composed last summer by Mrs. Kaufman and is a rollicking two-step ragtime. It is named after her husband, who is known to his friends and associates as Dusty Tim, a nickname given to him several years ago when his father moved into the new Kaufman home in West Richmond. Most of young Kaufman's friends lived on the east side of the river, and many a night, while calling on them, he would miss the last streetcar that would carry him to his home in West Richmond, and so he would then, later on, have to tramp down Main Street over the bridge to his home on National Avenue. This tramp earned him his nickname among his friends of Dusty Tim. And it was this in mind that his young bride named her composition of last summer, Dusty. Dusty has just been placed on sale in Indianapolis, and during the first 2 days, over 1,000 copies were sold. It bids fair to be one of the ragtime hits of the season, and the young composer is the recipient of many congratulations from her friends, both here and in her former home city, Indianapolis. Dusty is also on sale in Richmond, Indiana. I know many of you are thinking Richmond, Virginia. No, this is about Richmond, Indiana. And how about that cute little story? May Ofterhide, she just graduated from finishing school. She got married, moved from Indianapolis to Richmond, Indiana with her new husband, and has the ragtime hit of the 1908 season. She's off to quite a start. It's a nice little story, and I like that bit about Dusty Tim, although I'm thinking it's a typo and should be Dusty Tom, because her husband's name was Thomas. But it says Dusty Tim twice, but that can't be right. Nobody calls Thomas Tim. So they probably just switched the O and the I by mistake, which, you know, is a common thing. Okay, and now back to the May Ofterhide story. As the Richmond Palladium newspaper pointed out, the dusty rag was selling. And it really must have gotten around, because 34 years later, in 1942, the New Orleans jazz trumpeter Bunk Johnson recorded it with his band. And this was the time of the New Orleans Revival. And by 1942, Bunk Johnson was kind of an old-timer, but he was bringing back the repertoire from his early days in New Orleans. And he brought back May Ofterhide's Dusty. He still remembered that tune after all those years. So it must have been a favorite among the New Orleans jazz musicians. And the same could be said for another May Ofterhide rag called The Thriller, which Bunk Johnson also brought back in that same 1942 recording session. And that's the rag I'd like to play next, The Thriller. This one, Ms. Ofterhide published in 1909, 1 year after Dusty, and I'm not sure if this one was as successful as Dusty, but it did get around. It got to New Orleans, as I just pointed out, and it also got to Puerto Rico. I did another search of old newspapers, and I typed in the search terms, The Thriller and Ofterhide, and the only result I got was from the Bulletin Mercantil de Puerto Rico. Apparently, a concert was given in San Juan by El Club Armónico, which I guess translates to the Harmony Club, and they printed their concert program right there on the front page of the newspaper. And there's May Ofterhide's Thriller right smack in the middle of the program. And I bet the people of San Juan loved it because it's a great rag. Here it is, The Thriller. So that was The Thriller, a delightful rag two-step by May Ofterhide. Now, I was kind of wondering if the title The Thriller had some kind of special meaning. A ragtime friend of mine told me that he heard that The Thriller was an old roller coaster at an Indianapolis amusement park. And I looked that up, and yes, there was a Thriller roller coaster at the Riverside Amusement Park in Indianapolis, but that wasn't constructed till the late 1910s, after the Thriller rag was composed. So that's not it. That is not the inspiration of the Thriller rag. And so I went back to my old newspaper online search, and I searched the term thriller, and I did some perusing, and I learned a bit about how the term thriller was used in 1908, around that time. The term thriller was used in some similar ways, but also some different ways from today. You'd see the word thriller used to describe a sports game that was close, which we also do today. And it was used to describe films that were exciting, which we also do today, although the thriller genre, as we now know it, was not a thing yet. So maybe May Ofterhide had that kind of thing in mind as she composed The Thriller. But it's also possible that she was referring to a daredevil stunt, because as I was perusing these old newspapers, I kept seeing daredevil stunts being referred to as thrillers. For instance, here's an excerpt from a 1909 newspaper article, and it says, "This thriller is nothing less than a double somersault in midair made by a heavy automobile with Mademoiselle La Belle Roche, a young French woman, at the wheel. The car dashes down a steep incline from the dome of the tent. An abrupt upcurved terminal hurls the car high above the heads of the audience, where it accomplishes two complete revolutions and then lands with a crash on a narrow speedway, exhausting its terrific momentum on the Hippodrome track. So that was a thriller. And wow, a double somersault in a car. That sounds like fake news to me, but it's in the Greencastle Herald from April 7th, 1908, so it has to be true. And this act was billed as a death-defying, hazardous, terrific, blood-chilling, danger-courting automobile double somersault performed at terrible height and followed by a downward plunge of awful speed, out-thrilling all the thrillers. So, yeah, and it does seem thrilling. And that particular thriller was mentioned a lot around 1909, this show seemed to have gone on the road and was performed in towns and cities across America, inspiring lots of newspaper mentions. So I have no doubt that May Ofterhide was familiar with this particular thriller, and maybe that was what inspired her rag, the thriller. Perhaps she was inspired by Mademoiselle La Belle Roche, the daring young French woman who did double somersaults in her automobile. Perhaps. And now, it's time for my final death-defying stunt on this podcast episode. I'm going to play the song, You're the Cream in My Coffee, from 1928. However, I prepared my piano in such a way that if I hit a wrong note, there will be dire consequences. One wrong note will trigger a pulley mechanism that will open up a box that is currently dangling above my head. This box contains 9 hungry, angry vampire bats. Each have been tested for rabies, and 8 tested positive. All 9 are thirsty for human blood. This will be the most thrilling of thrillers ever to have thrilled. I now present to you, You're the Cream in My Coffee. Thank you. All right. Well, that was You're the Cream in My Coffee by the songwriting team of Da Silva Brown and Henderson. And above me, the bats are still in the box. Whew. You have been listening to the Carolina Shout podcast, recorded live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Ethan Uslin, your host and your piano player. Kate Uslin is my wife, and she's also the podcast editor and my stunt double. Remember the time I played the bumblebee rag while covered in bees? Well, that was actually Kate. Remember when I played Mac the Knife while swallowing a knife? That was also Kate. She really does a lot behind the scenes here. All right, that's all I have for today. Thanks again for tuning in. Stay tuned next episode for more death-defying ragtime.